So this is Radio Blowback. We're talking with Sarah Anderson about the case of General Augusto Pinochet, former Chilean dictator, and about Sarah Anderson's group, the Institute for Policy Studies, and their efforts to prosecute General Pinochet and have justice done in a case of a bombing in Washington, D.C. in 1976 that killed two of their colleagues. Sarah, a little while ago, you were talking about what made the arrest of Pinochet possible in 1998, which was sort of a new world in which we weren't frightened about the Cold War anymore, and perhaps more importantly, that the Cold War arguments that, you know, any means necessary against my enemy is called for, that logic had sort of fallen by the wayside. Has that logic come back with a vengeance here in the United States in the wake of September 11th of 2001?
Well, that's a really good question, and it did just come out in the paper yesterday that the State Department has released its annual sort of survey of, you know, the human rights records of countries around the world, and it comes out that a lot of our allies in the current war on terrorism are really horrific human rights abusers. So once again, we are really in bed with some of the worst violators in the world. And, you know, I hope that we don't continue on this path, but you're right. It is possible that we're entering an era where this kind of, you know, looking the other way, while our supposed allies are torturing and murdering their own people, is going to go on.
Can you tell us more about the cost of, you know, what price tag we were left with at the end of the Cold War in terms of looking the other way? Did it help the United States to ally itself with tortures and murders throughout the world?
Well, you know, a lot of people point out that the situation in Afghanistan is you know, part of the legacy of the Cold War. And so there are examples everywhere of people who are using, you know, weapons that we supplied in that context, training that was supplied in that context, and it's coming back to haunt us right here in the United States.
So if we do the same, we'll be left with the same.
That's certainly my argument. And, you know, it's not just even just the tangible things about the weapons and the training and the attacks on us, but also just the extreme distrust that we feel being people who do international work. So many places where we go in the world, we have to, the first step is to try to get over the distrust of Americans, try to get over the experiences that people have had where CIA and other, you know, U.S. agents have gone in and screwed up these countries so badly, infiltrated trade unions, other groups, to all as a part of this, you know, fight against communism at any cost. And boy, that's a legacy that is so difficult to get through and will take many, many years. And so if we just continue that record, I think it's going to be even harder.
Going back to tying in that legacy and the CIA to the Pinochet case, I once had a far right wing relative tell me in Chile that it is very obvious to him that the Letelier Moffitt murders were carried out by the CIA. And he was convinced of that. Obviously, I asked him for any proof he had, it would be welcome. How can someone think that? How would somebody think that? By the characteristics of this crime and how it occurred. How could somebody think something like that?
I think it comes more out of just a knee-jerk reaction that it must be the CIA. They are such evil people, and it couldn't possibly have been done. You know, in the case of your Chilean relative, it couldn't have been done by homegrown people right here in my own country. And I think, you know, here at the Institute for Policy Studies, coming from a different perspective, you know, they were coming out of, well, just being really harassed under the Nixon era as being, you know, political critics, and so being very distrustful of the CIA. There was also some people here at IPS who kind of leapt to that conclusion that the CIA must have had a hand in it. But after years and years and years of investigating this case and really, you know, looking hard at what the facts are, people here have concluded that the CIA was not involved in the Letelier Moffett killings.
And yet you have people with false passports entering the United States, people that are linked to the Chilean secret police. What was the level of knowledge, either by the FBI or the INS or the CIA, that these characters had entered the U.S.?
Yeah, that's a really complicated part of the story. Two people from Chile went to Paraguay to get false passports to enter the United States. It's clear now that they were part of the terrorist operation and that they were probably going to play a role in the murders of Letelier and Moffett. The ambassador in Paraguay got suspicious and cabled the CIA saying, I think that these guys are trying to get into the country on false passports. It's unclear exactly what the reaction was. And I've thought really hard at it about it. I think that there's more information that we should be getting. This was a time when George Bush Sr. was the director of the CIA and so theoretically should have been alerted to this fact, and we've never gotten a really clear answer how much did they really know, how much should they have known, should they have taken more action to try to prevent this killing from occurring. My hunch is they could not conceive that Pinochet would try something like this in their own backyard. They thought they had this guy, that he was, you know, one of their guys. I think it really was probably just their arrogance in thinking that, my gosh, this is Washington, D.C. This is the seat of power of the most powerful country in the world. There's no way that this guy would try this here, would humiliate us in front of the world by murdering someone in our own backyard. And so I think there were signs and clues that the CIA should have picked up on that this was going to happen in Washington, and they didn't act on it. But I don't see any real evidence that they were involved in planning it.